All right, it was a big night for the Raptors last night. They moved up from the seventh spot in the draft. That's where they were supposed to go based on the standings. They get into the lottery. They end up picking fourth. And that, I think, makes it all worthwhile. I mean, it was a difficult season. They weren't home at any point.
We talk about Tampa Bay Lightning all the time, Hazy. Have a crap year. You know what? Just load up from it and benefit from it and get back at it.
Exactly. Yep. And the last time they picked fourth, Chris Bosch. That worked out pretty well for them. And Bosch will join us on Monday, actually. So I think it was a pretty good night for Bobby Webster and company, yeah. Not only because they won the lottery and picked fourth, but they were in Chicago, one of our favorite cities, out for dinner at a bar, living life. It's a beautiful thing.
Let's just get right to it and ask them who they're taking it for. Come on.
Yeah. You want to pose that question?
All right. Bring him in here.
The GM of the Raptors, Bobby Webster. How you doing, Bobby?
What's up, everyone? Yeah, I'll review the pick on air right now. How about that?
Yes.
Go ahead, buddy. Who is it? Fourth pick, the Toronto Raptors, Bobby Webster. Please make your selection for us.
I appreciate having me on, so thanks.
Yes, okay. We'll leave it there. That's who you're taking. We have to find him on Real GM or on a mock draft somewhere. Thank you for having me on. I think he's out there. I think he's a collegiate player. You were in Chicago last night. You got to hang out at a bar watching that last night. What was the experience like for you when the card flipped at seven? It wasn't the Raptors. What was running through your mind?
Yeah, you know, it's a bit stressful evening, as you can imagine. You know, we're all sitting there yesterday, and we're in Chicago with the rest of the NBA, and so we're all sitting there saying, you know, our futures depend on these small little ping pong balls. So it was it wasn't fun, but yeah, as soon as seven flips over and it's not, you know, the Raptors logo, you know, you're in the top four. A couple of high fives, a couple of hugs, and then you get the commercial break and you get to see where you are. Obviously, the suspense ended quickly there at four, but just making that jump for us was meaningful for the franchise. And I think, as I said last night, you guys alluded to, it was a bit of a silver lining on a tough season for everybody.
How big of a hug do you give to move up to that four spot, Bobby? Is it like go time now hug, or is it, what kind of hug are we talking about when you get to the four spot?
I don't know if it's a go time, but it's a pretty good hug. It's a pretty good emotional release, if that's what you guys are looking for.
Yeah, well, you
weren't
alone.
That's a good hug.
I think every Raptor fan was thinking the same thing. I mean, the Raptor fans haven't been used to this experience in a long time, yourself included, right? Like you guys have been a perennial playoff team, a championship contender, and this year, for a multitude of reasons, it got away from you. I don't know if this would make it worth it in the end, but how, now that you know you moved up to four and you got the fourth pick and what is supposed to be a pretty deep draft, a quality draft, certainly a top four or top five draft, how do you look back on the whole season now, considering what you found out last night?
Yeah, no, I mean, it doesn't make up for, you know, a tough season, but it's definitely a step in the right direction. And I think as you guys can all appreciate, you know, as soon as the season ended and we had a little bit of space to reflect on the year, I think, you know, there was a lot of pauses that came out of the year, and having this, you know, piece here to move forward with, I think is, you know, adds to that. And so, doesn't make up for it, but definitely helps and puts us in a direction that, you know, fortunately we haven't been in the past. And we don't plan to be, you know, too often in the future. And so having this pick definitely increases the odds of, you know, either finding a really impactful player in the draft that can come and, you know, complement the core, or it's a, you know, valuable piece in the trade market as you look to find other players that, you know, fit with our group.
Well, in terms of the trade market, I think every GM, every team, including Detroit, I would assume, are willing to accept calls. But how does that, you know, interaction work? Is it, now that you know where you're at and everyone knows where they're slotted, are you picking up the phone, calling teams and finding out what they feel about four? Or how they feel about four? Are you just simply accepting calls and you're going to let them know how much you love the fourth pick? How does this work between now and draft night?
You know, it goes both ways, right? I mean, there's teams that are interested in four. There's teams that want to move up. There's teams that want to add a pick of that caliber. And then for us, you know, we got to do our due diligence, and you're not exactly sure who's going to be there for. So you got to have some, you know, alternative and some, you know, plan B. So I think for us, it'll go both ways. Obviously, we're not there yet. I think everyone's kind of digesting the news from last night and coming up with their, you know, their strategy and who they want and how to play this thing out. But, you know, as we approach July 29th, a lot of that chatter will pick up as far as, you know, keep it, take the player, you know, oftentimes it's, you know, well, who's there? You know, we'll make the decision on the clock, which is, you know, even more fun. You got 5 minutes and you're going to take the player, you're going to trade it. And then is another team going to, you know, take a player? Are they want to trade it? So that's the fun of it. It's a challenge. It's, you know, why we're here, and we look forward to it.
We're chatting with Bobby Webster, the GM of the Raptors. The Raps getting into the lottery last night. They were picked fourth at the NBA draft. And I love mock drafts, and I love feeling as if I'm informed, even though I know I'm not. I wasn't in the gym watching these guys.
I don't get it. Like, people that you don't even know are just making up mock. I don't
understand.
It's
the best. Today, every Raptor fan is convinced you have to take Jalen Green or Evan Mobley or take a reach. You know, you got to take a kid out of Turkey or something like that. Like, how do you respond to the information process here, Bobby, where you guys are going to come up with your own board, your scouts are going to break it down for you, but you know the way this is going to work out. Like, you know it's Cunningham, Mobley, and the two Jalens. Everyone's convinced that's the top four. Do you care about any of that? Do you follow any of that? Or do you just try to isolate yourself and say, we're going to do whatever we feel is best at four, and if it's a player that no one's heard of before, so be it.
I think everybody knows us. So we make the decisions, you know, that we feel are best for the organization. It's fun, you know, the mock drafts, the constant speculation, that's what keeps the interest. The fans love it. But for us, you know, we trust, you know, the work we've done all year. We obviously knew this was a potential once the season ended that we can move up. So you continue to do your homework. But, you know, as long as we feel the process that, you know, we've developed internally, that's what we'll stick to. We'll enjoy it from, I think, a fan perspective as well. We'll leave all the commentary to you all.
Okay, yeah. You make sure you listen to us. We'll have a full mock draft leading up to it. I'm sure it'll change your mind somehow, one way or the other, with Bobby Webster, the GM of the Raptors. So how do you turn this around as quickly as possible, which I know is the goal? I mean, you guys 2 years ago won a championship. A year ago, or just over a year ago, you had the second-best points percentage in the NBA. This year, it got away from you quickly. You start 2-8, and you never got really back on the rails. And then when COVID hit you, that was basically it. But how much heavy lifting are we talking about here for you guys to get back to the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, it's a good question. Now, we're not going to put a timeline for ourselves internally. I think obviously the goal is, as you know, is to build championship contending teams, you know, on an annual basis. And so, you know, we feel like we're better than our record. We feel like we're better than what we showed in Tampa. But we do have to do it. And as you know, you've seen there's, you know, younger players stepping into bigger roles, not only on the front line, but even off the bench. So I think we're continuing to see those jumps. And I think if we see, you know, another jump next year, then we're having that conversation. We get to add a fourth pick kind of caliber player to the mix, and we have free agency. So I think, you know, there's a few more pieces to fit together, but we don't think we're that far away.
Where do things stand with Kyle Lowry in his upcoming free agency?
You know, I think we've you know, spoke pretty extensively about how important Kyle is to our franchise, and whether it was a trade deadline or end of the season. Obviously, we'll have those conversations when appropriate with Kyle, but he knows how much he means to the organization.
With Bobby Webster, you were asked about Masai last night and his role in all this, and you said it's the exact same. You know, he's doing what he's always been doing. How often do you and him, you know, disagree on the direction the team should go in, especially with such an active upcoming offseason?
Yeah, Scott, I think disagree is probably not the right characterization. Is talk about it constantly, nonstop, and, you know, he may want to go one way, I may want to go the other way, but I think that's the whole point of the conversation, is not to, you know, have everyone, you know, put yourself in an echo chamber and have everyone, you know, say the same thing. So, you know, generally we're on the same page, but this is kind of the fun. You can challenge each other on what's the proper direction, what's the value, you know, do you take the pick, do you trade the pick, all the things you can imagine, you know, we're talking about on a daily basis.
Well, it was a pretty positive night last night for the Raptors, and I know you guys are still down in the States, but up here there was a lot of buzz about it, and Raptor fans are looking forward to having you guys back in town, which we're all holding out hope. We have to believe that's going to happen. I mean, come September and October, hopefully you're up here at the start of the season for sure. So congrats on getting up into the fourth seed last night, or the fourth spot with the draft, and good luck with the combine, good luck with free agency upcoming, and we'll do this again down the road. Thank you, Bobby.
Definitely. We felt the excitement from the fans. So that was, I think it was cool for us as much as it was cool for them to have some good news. And, you know, we look forward to being back in Toronto as well.
All right, man. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you.
There's Bobby Webster, GM of the Raptors, down in Chicago. And they move up to the fourth seed. And, you know, people asking me today, they're like, you got to ask him about Masai. He's not going to say one thing or the other about Masai and his contractual scenario. I wanted to ask him, though, like, you know, how does it work right now? You guys, it sounds like they're just going about their business. You know, Masai's still working for the team. He's still here until we hear otherwise.
Still Masai's weird, here. Though, man.
It would be, you know, unless they know something we don't. You know, maybe it's closer to the finish line than you think, and Masai's told his guys, like, listen, this is a franchise that keeps everything in-house. Nothing really leaks out. So if he's told two or three people within the front office, like, let's keep rolling here and I'm going to be sticking around, Bobby Webster's not calling up, you know, Josh Lewenberg and saying, leak this out that Masai's got a deal coming. Like, they are pretty ironclad, right? All three big franchises in the city. It just, it's tough to get any real info out of them. Like, the Jays, the Raptors, and the Leafs, they operate pretty much the same across the board.
Yeah. There's a cone of silence.
It's a real
sure.
cone of silence.
I think it happened more recently when Lou came in. Like, when Lou, like, for when I first started in Toronto, I felt like, I don't want to say there was leaks, but, you know, Brian Burke was more of a guy who was kind of out front.
He
wasn't
that.
Shy. Yeah, he wasn't shy to be visual or to be seen and to be heard. And then Lou came in, and you couldn't, if you asked him if he had pizza last night, he would, like, you know, he wouldn't tell you the straight answer. Like, that's just how it was. But, and I feel like he established that, and especially with the Leafs, they've continued that a little bit. You know, Shanny for sure.
Oh, for sure. Well, who did he learn from? I mean, Lou was his first GM. Lou was the guy, like, really, when Shanahan got here, it changed almost as much as it did, you know, move that much further when Lamoriello got here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
a lot of teams are like that, though, man.
They
I've
are.
Talked to guys that I know in organizations. They're like, Jeff, can't tell you because there was four people in the room, and if it comes out, it's going back to one of us, and I'm one of them, so I'm not risking my job.
That's right.
Like, that's the kind of stuff we're talking about where it's just like they're not saying it.
Right.
I always find it funny, though, when that same guy calls up and says, hey, there's a job opening. Can you fire my name out there? I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I guess so.
Right. It's not a two-way street.
No. You know?
Or when the teams all of a sudden do need you and they're calling up, hey, you think we can come on and talk about this? Oh, really? Because we asked you a question a couple of weeks ago, and you
for whatever reason couldn't give us an answer. Or they're sinking the joint out, and they're like, hey, don't forget, we got really bad injuries, you know. Take it easy on us.
It's that gets through the grapevine. All of a sudden, the cone of silence gets thrown out the window. Hey, take it easy on us.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, listen, that I don't know if that says something about Toronto or sports in 2021. I think it's the latter. You know, I think it's just...
Yeah, it's just sports in general.
Yeah, it's just that's the way everyone operates. And I don't know if Bobby Webster knows. He knows more than the average person. He knows more than us, clearly, in terms of Masai, and they're very close. And I'm sure he's got an inkling one way or the other. But listen, if Masai ends up leaving, you know, this team could go down a different path. It's not going to take a complete left turn. You know, Webster was hired and developed and grown under the tutelage of Masai. Like, that's the way he operates. And he I think, thinks similarly in a lot of ways and will look to control the team in a similar way. But what they do it for, we'll find out. You know, we'll find out in a month and a half. But
great.
It's a big jump in value from 7-4. There's a chance they flip the pick. There's a chance they move around. And one thing we've learned – and we learned it a long time ago, just because the general public or mock drafts are telling you this is what's going to happen, that's never the way it actually happens, ever.
Agreed.
So, you know, we're going to hear the names Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Green, Jalen Suggs. Those are the big four. Everyone's convinced they're going 1-4. I guarantee you someone will pop up and push one of them to 5.
I was laughing.
I like the guy from Gonzaga. That's my guy.
Suggs? That's your guy?
I was laughing last night because they were Cade Cunningham. I'm like, that's Rick Cunningham.
Rick Cunningham. Dwayne Casey's probably got him down in Detroit.
Exactly, your buddy. You can,
we got to get
that's
DC
That's a good
one,
Brian.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, the
we
got to
get him on. We got to get
basketball.
Him on.
Dude, that's your deal. You're his boy. Like, call a guy.
Well, I'll shoot him a note. I should shoot him a note and say, hey, congrats. Although he's not going to tell us that they're taking Cade Cunningham. They're going to play
shoot
coy.
Him a note and say, Case, can you come on tomorrow? Give me 5 minutes. That's all you got to say.
Yeah, and like, what if he writes back and it goes, "Who's this?" That's the worst.
That's what I would expect at this point. Maybe he's flipped his phone. He used to have a 416.
Dude, your buddy's with the guy. You got to be a big league guy. You got to say, "Case, it's Brian Hayes from Toronto. Any chance you got 10 minutes on the radio tomorrow?"
Hey, B, how you doing, buddy?